You're listening to the Hockey 411 podcast with your host, Brian Anderson. Hello and welcome to the Hockey 411 podcast presented by SeatGeek. Use the code THEHOCKEY411 for $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek.com. We're talking Philadelphia Flyers here. Jackie Spiegel from the Philadelphia Inquirer makes her first appearance on the show. Jackie, welcome.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun here. We're talking Flyers, like I said, and I think some of the biggest things when you look at this organization, obviously it's a rebuilding year. Last year, around the trade deadline, people were like, ooh, can this team, you know, are they buying, are they selling, like, where are they going? Like, they were ahead of schedule. This season, it looks like they're a little slower out of the gate. Lost to the Bruins twice. Kane's on a heartbreaker, really, late in the third period on a tie game. Last night, you do get the shootout win against Tampa when we're recording this. You know, this is an uphill battle here. You know, the Metro is loaded. Like, the Rangers have been really good this year. The Hurricanes look like they're just right back where they are. The Devils are right there. Washington looks like they've taken a step. And then you have the rest of the group. So there is an opportunity for this Flyers organization to take that step. But, you know, when Travis Konecny is your top goal scorer at 7 goals, and after that, there's not a lot of supplementals, the goal scoring is a big problem here right now. Like, what do you think is, outside of that, what's not clicking for this team right now?
Well, I'll actually first off start, Brian, with the fact that even though, like, eye test-wise, when you watch it, they're not, outside of maybe a handful of games, they're not playing as well as they did last year. But the record isn't far off from what it was last year at this time either, though. I did a story the other day where it's through 12 games and they only had, I think it was one less win than they had last year at this time. So obviously there are glaring issues compared to last year. But for you know, record's sake, let's say, the record is actually pretty similar. They weren't a great goal scoring team last year either. So, you know, they were, but what they did was they played better maybe defensively. You know, they're very big shot blocking team. You know, their penalty kill, which is actually is one of the best ones in the league now, was also one of the best ones, you know, a year ago. And they are getting a boost in the power play. The issue right now with this team is that outside of, let's say, the last two games, is that they were struggling to play together. They were struggling to play as a team, as a unit, a five-man unit when they're on the ice. You know, the word disconnect was used a lot among the group in terms of how they felt on the ice. And you could see it, you know. Guys weren't, you know, there wasn't a lot of puck support. There wasn't a lot of crisp passing. There wasn't a lot of, you know, strong defensive play where the wings were in the proper position so they could break out. Because this is a transition team, right? They were really big on the transition last year. And there hasn't been much of that this year. So there's issues, but they're starting to find, I think, their balance and their footing again. So it'll be interesting to see if we have this conversation in like another month where they're at.
You know, it's funny you say that the record is eerily similar to us last year, but it felt like at this time last year, like you said, the eye test, it looked more put together. It looked like this team was maybe, you know, starting to figure something out. But outside of, say, last night's game or the game before, it's really been this discombobulated, just a lot of players just put together on the ice. It's not a team yet. It's not a unit yet. And here we are, you know, kind of going through this process here where it's amazing how much the eye test and sometimes the analytics are disconnected or just another tool in the toolbox. But can this team really build it all together? Obviously, you're adding, you know, certain elements to this roster. Like, you're getting a full year of Jamie Drysdale, who we're going to talk about. You know, obviously changes in net. Like, you have to figure out that. We're going to get into our goaltending here. Michkov comes along here. You're getting more high-end talent, you know. So it's just, I think you hit it on the head here where this team just kind of doesn't look together right now. And, you know, I want to start with the back end. We'll work our way towards the front of the roster. And, you know, all three goaltenders here, it's really been difficult to kind of piece this together. And Ersson's the only one really right now with, you know, a GA in the twos, save percentage in the nines. All three goalies, their expected goal save, they're all negative. Like, some of their serious advanced analytics are all negative. So, you know, I understand Torts is a very, you know, difficult system to learn, essentially, because you're seeing it with these young guys. It's taking them a little bit time to really click. But at the same time, when you have, say, Erasmus Ristolainen getting beat pretty cleanly on a one-on-one by, I believe it was Kucherov last night, it's not going to help to your goaltending here.
Well, he got turned around last night. I mean, that was part of the problem is that, you know, he was kind of in the neutral zone. All of a sudden, Kucherov skating at him, and he had to turn, and he just kind of stumbled on the turn.
The point I'm trying to make is, though, like when you have, even when you have plays like that, having the you realizing it's a one-on-one, having your, you know, go opening your body towards the player and the puck, not the post, like little details like that, obviously. And I'm not trying to rag on Rasmus here. Your goaltenders are a product of your defensive system, and it's really been tricky to kind of figure this out. Obviously, you know, the Flyers end up losing a key piece due to other reasons in net, as we all know of. I'm not going to get into that, but the goaltending has been a real question mark this year.
The numbers with the goaltenders are a little disingenuous. I think, you know, the team wasn't playing well in front of them. That's obviously going to impact the numbers. You know, like watching the goals that these guys gave up, let's say 75% were goals that I don't think a lot of goalies would stop. You know, like a lot of guys not covered in front, a lot of side to side, a lot of big, you know, big time screens, like things that I think any goalie would have issue with. And like I said earlier, you know, they were dealing with a lot of defensive structural issues that obviously are going to impact the goalie's ability to make saves. Now, Sam Ersson, however, yes, he's hurt right now, but he has without a doubt been the best goalie on this team. There's no question that, you know, Sam Ersson is ready to step into the number one role. There's no question that he is the number one guy on this team. When you watch Sam Ersson play, he is, and even in that Boston game where he got hurt, he's locked in, right? You know, I spoke to him at the beginning of the year. He knows also that his position as the number one isn't, let's just say this. We know it's solidified, but he's always in the mindset that it's not, if that makes sense. So he's always working to make sure that he is at the top of his game. He was actually playing really good hockey. He was actually being, you know, making saves, making tough saves, making quick saves, making, you know, high danger saves left and right. Again, I think his numbers were a little bit of a byproduct of the rest of the issues with the team. Alexei Kolosov, I personally think, is a really exciting goalie to watch. His movement is so quick. He's so athletic. You know, he reminds me of, I hate to say this because he's a Pennsylvania native. He's not a well known for being, he was never a Flyer, but I watch Alexei Kolosov and he reminds me of Mike Richter when he was playing at the top of his game. I think, like, just, I don't know if it's the padding and the body and the small athletic build, but he just really seems to have good movement. I do think, again, some of his stuff is also a byproduct of when the team's not playing well. You know, some of the goals he gave up the other night, they were tips or deflections, or, you know, he actually said after his, I believe it was the game that he came in for Ersson, the Bruins game, he talked about how he's been still learning how to deal with the traffic in front of the net. That is not something that typically comes in KHL games, right? Because a lot of these rinks are so big, there's not, and the players don't play with a heavy traffic in front of the net. So he's still getting used to that kind of thing as well. Ivan Fedotov, you know, he's still was struggling with finding his footing. I think he was also falling into the same issue as Kolosov with the traffic, but, you know, he was making some bad saves or bad, letting some bad goals in, you know, high, mid-range, low-range shot, or yeah, mid-range, like all the, from far away, he was letting goals in kind of thing. But I was pretty impressed with his game last night. You know, it still wasn't the prettiest goaltending I think I've ever seen, but, you know, I think he showed last night that he is the guy that that everyone thought he would be when he came over from the KHL.
Goaltending, as I've said on this show multiple times, it's such a byproduct of the system that plays in front of you. Also, at the same time, I'm going to add this footnote to it. You know, some of the saves, like, the team needs to ask for, like, a big save every once in a while. It never felt like the Flyers' goaltending was necessarily getting that. They'd come up with one save, but, like, maybe you know, stand on your head, one or like make one or two saves, and like gets the boys fired up on the bench, gets everyone kind of going. And look, you saw that last night with Fedotov, right? Him going post to post, his big style really in the net, and he came up with some big saves and kept that team in the game for the shootout win against Tampa Bay.
With Fedotov, you root for this guy, right? With everything that he's been through, you just kind of root for him, and it was actually great last night to kind of see him settle in and play a really strong game. And like I said, he's not the prettiest goalie out there, and I think that's part of another byproduct of him being 6'8" in the net or 6'7". So, but yeah, he's someone that you really kind of hope gets it all together and plays really well, regardless for what team he's playing for.
Well, even when you come over from the KHL, you said they don't necessarily play with as much traffic in front there. But even with a goaltender, since the rink is a little bit wider, you use your points in the stands, you use points on the boards, like, okay, that's my angle there, that's my angle there. So when you lose X amount of feet on everything coming in, now you're readjusting, like, oh, I don't have that much room to, you know, do a T-push here, do a T-push there. So it's little things like that, especially when goalies come over to the United States, that is a big change for them. Using those vantage points and using those lock-in points for when you're pushing off the post and when you're trying to change angles there. When we talk about defense, I got to talk about Jamie Drysdale here, because, you know, it's been almost about a year now, maybe a little under, and this is someone that when you talk to and you read about in the articles, he's still asking a lot of questions. He's super young, a guy who's had some pretty big injuries on his lower body.
And upper body.
He's still a very big work in progress. There's still a lot of raw talent with Jamie Drysdale. And I think you're seeing that real time with growing pains in the defensive zone, in the neutral zone, in the offensive zone of how intricate this Tortorella system can be. You know, like I said, you hear it from the staff and articles when he's asking the right questions, he's wanting to learn. Obviously, the majority of his offensive or his faceoff starts are in the offensive zone. He's only got 3 points, but he's quarterbacking power play one. He's got really good vision. He's moving the puck. It's just, I think a lot of like what we saw in his draft year and what he's been compared to, Jamie Drysdale can be that guy. It's just, I think you're starting to see more growing pains, and defensemen take longer than forwards and goaltenders to develop in this league.
Oh, that's been something that's for 40 years, I would say at least, that, you know, defensemen do take a little longer sometimes to find their footing. You're not going to have Kel McCarr even played a little college hockey right before he came. Jamie Drysdale was pretty much straight out of juniors right to, or I think right out of his draft, I think, for Anaheim, right? So, you know, it's a little bit of growing pains with Jamie. The biggest thing with Jamie Drysdale is that, and he's only been with the Flyers since January, and then he actually missed about a month to 6 weeks with the shoulder injury that he got against when he got trucked by Jansen Harkins of the Penguins at the time. So, you know, he actually hasn't played that much under John Tortorella and Brad Shaw, who runs the defense. But with Jamie Drysdale, he's running into the issue with playing a zone defense. The issue is that when he came over from Anaheim, they play man-to-man. And man-to-man is one of the easiest defensive structures you could probably play, right? Here's your guy, you stick with your guy, you follow him basically around the entire zone. You know, maybe you switch with your partner when someone calls switch, or with another player on the team. But it's a very, in my opinion, it's a much more simpler structure to play. The issue is with now he basically came over and had to switch to his own defense, which is a little bit harder, right? Because guys skate through your area and they don't necessarily stay with you, and they're trying to move and maneuver and create space and get into open space. And you have to know from a zone defense now where you have to be and who you have to be. So it's, am I, as someone who's, you know, I've done a little coaching, and I obviously played played hockey, as I'm sure a lot of people have, like, it's a lot harder to figure out where you need to be in a zone defense when there's so much moving, when a team cycles, when a team, you know, it's just, it creates a little chaos. And he's having trouble picking up where to be. There's no issues with Jamie Drysdale up the ice. I don't think anyone would argue that out of his own zone, he is one of the best players on this team. He's using his footwork. He's using his speed. He's creating plays. He has, like we've talked about, he has good vision. You see that on the power play. He loves to walk the line. You know, I think everyone sees that now too. In his own zone, he has been struggling. He's played with Travis Sanheim a little bit more in the last, at least the last two games. And I think that's helped him be a little bit more focused. I think Travis, you know, is very good at reading where the partner is and figuring out like where he needs to be to fill in the space. I think you're seeing, as you know, it's there's nothing wrong with him and Nick Seeler. I just think maybe with Travis Sanheim, there's a little bit more connection, chemistry.
I mean, Sanheim is the veteran of this defense corps. He's been there for years. And, you know, it's amazing when you talk to someone, they're like the zone defense, and the first thought that pops into my head is USA Hockey. And what's John Tortorella, USA Hockey? Guys taught throughout youth hockey and even in American juniors, a lot of the time it's zone defense. You know, you have your defenseman activate in the corner. If it goes to a different corner, then the other defenseman releases. It's a lot of that. Your wingers stay up towards your points. And it, for a guy who played in, you know, Canadian juniors and for essentially a Canadian system out in Anaheim, it's a big adjustment for someone who's not just tailing someone. But when you grow up and play through it the entire time, that's how you kind of get used to it. But I do want to talk about Sanheim here as you brought him up. Look, 2 years ago, this guy was almost run out of Philadelphia. Last year, he comes back, he puts up 44 points. He has a fantastic year, career year. Strong puck mover, not as physical as I'd probably like him to be, but 6 points, 10 games this year. You know, solid start to the season. I'm curious to see where he can get this consistency year over year now that we're going forward, because, you know, we got the bad year out of the way. Last year he had a career year. Does he regress all the way back to the bad year? Maybe he regresses just a little bit and say, hey, you know, get a happy medium, or does he keep building on it? You know, what have you seen from Sanheim that is really encouraging? How can we get this consistency year over year?
Well, I think, so obviously I wasn't here. I've only been on the beat a little over a year now. So I wasn't here the year that, I guess, as you said, they tried to run him out. I have no, you know, in-depth knowledge about that kind of stuff. But the Sanheim that I see now is the Sanheim that we all saw at the beginning of last year. In the last few months, he kind of ran out of steam, I think, a little bit. He gets so many minutes, and he was, you know, he has some injuries, has some bumps, he has some bruises. Like, it's the amount of minutes he plays is just mind-boggling sometimes. You know, I think that when he's, you know, and I remember John Tortorella saying last year, we just have to get to Christmas, because that was like a 3 or 4 day, the Flyers had like one of the longer breaks, I think it was 3 or 4 days. You know, like we just have to get him to Christmas. We just have to get him to Christmas. You know, they were trying to maintain him and, you know, give him like he didn't always skate for, you know, morning skates. Maybe he missed a practice or two, because to control the minutes and to control the amount of ice time. But the Sanheim we see now is a Sanheim, like I said, that we saw at the start of the year last year for the first couple of months. And it's someone who's becoming a big play driver. It's someone who is playing top minutes. He's a top pairing with Cam York. I don't know if he'll be with Cam York when Cam York comes back from injury. You know, like John Tortorella has been saying, he's got a lot. I'm not saying Cam York's not getting in the lineup. I'm just saying there's a good, maybe he'll break them up to balance his pairings out a little bit more, seeing how well Drysdale plays with Sanheim. There's a lot of question marks, obviously, with Emil Andre and where he fits now in the on the blue line. But he's playing so well, you know, and they still have to get, you know, Eric Johnson in. He's 3 games shy of 1,000. So obviously they want to, you know, they're going to want to get him in, you know, Zamula and how he's been up and down. But with Sanheim, he really is the anchor to this defense. And I think seeing what he's been doing, especially in the last few games, is he is stepping up not only in the defensive zone, but in the offensive zone too. I actually, my story today that was put up on, you know, PhiladelphiaInquirer.com, it talks about the first shifts of the last two games and how it sets the tone. And Travis Sanheim was a key part of that with Jamie Drysdale. But really Sanheim, how he's been reading the plays, pinching up the wall, you know, driving to the net. I see him more around the net sometimes than I see forwards, kind of thing. And I'm not talking about his own net. I'm talking about the net at the other side of the rink. So, you know, I think he's really kind of coming into his own. And it's funny because, you know, he's only, what is he, like 27, 28? But he's been in the league for so long already. So he's kind of seen it all. And I think, you know, he's, like you said, takes defensemen some time. And I think you're really seeing what Travis Sanheim can do last year and this year as he continues to grow and develop his game.
It's amazing what he did last season, how he's kind of started off this season. Because when you talk about the Travis Sanheim that you saw 2 years ago, it was really ugly. Like, Torts was in his face lives trying to get the best out of him here. You're not being as physical, as the puck really isn't moving that well. There were a lot of areas of his game where it just kind of fell off. And it was like, this isn't the Travis Sanheim you watched growing up and trying to get to the system. And he got away from a lot of the stuff that made him good, like quick passes, good skating. Like, it's easy to say, like, oh, this wasn't working. But when you sit and watch the tape and, you know, you can say, like, oh, he's bad skating. Well, what kind of direction has he taken to the puck? Is his edge work still strong? Are his escapes doing well? And I think if you go back and watch some of that tape, his skating kind of failed him and his directionals failed him in that year that it really wasn't working that well. Last year, I think there was more control towards his game. It wasn't just exerting energy all over the place. And, you know, I want to talk about the guy, you know, you mentioned Sanheim being around the league for a bit now. I want to talk about the guy and probably the biggest topic of this podcast in Michkov, the guy who's been first year in the league here. And, you know, a lot of heads got turned when John Tortorella is saying, you know, it's a part of the process. And when you talk about Philly, I feel like I'm obligated to say it's trust the process. I don't know how many times we've heard that with the Sixers, but with Michkov coming in his first couple games, there was a big step in his game. Like, you saw, like, wow, he's creating plays and everything. This is the rawest prospect player that this organization has had in years. Like, you talk about some of the guys who have come through and, you know, maybe they've traded away and everything, but in terms of pure talent and pure ability, Michkov is the guy of the last, I'd say, 10 years at this point. Look, I understand his 5-on-5 metrics. Only one of his 10 points was 5-on-5. At the same time, I think, obviously, you know, being tougher to play against in the defensive zone, stick on puck, I think those are things like that that he needs to improve in his defensive game. The offensive talent is there. He will win you games. I still have him pegged as my Calder winner this year. But, you know, if this starts to become a trend, I don't know. And look, I'm not in the mind of John Tortorella right now. I fully agree that a game off one or two here, just have him sit and watch the game in the stand. It is a blessing sometimes to really get a night off, clear your head, just kind of get back to the basics. I don't mind this. I think if it starts to become a serious trend, then we might have some more questions. But, like, even, you know, Torts was, you know, benched Coots for a couple of games last year, and that's your captain. So it's not out of the blue with him. I don't mind this at all as of today. I will have my ears perk up if this starts to become a little bit of a trend, because you do need this kid playing meaningful minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm also in agreement that I think it was warranted. It wasn't like he was just benching him and healthy scratching him. You know, there is no denying the offensive skill level that Matvei Michkov has. There is absolutely, you know, he is going to be a star. He's the vision he has, the ability to find his teammates, his nose for the net. I mean, how many times have you seen a guy? He's cut to the middle on the power play like 3 or 4 times now and scored from above the circles. Like, it's crazy, right? But also watching the game, there are times when he is just absolutely lost in the defensive zone. And everyone is different with how they learn. And I don't have an issue with him watching from the game is so much slower when you watch it from the press box than it is from when you are on the bench. And he definitely struggles. You know, the one goal that really stands out for me is the goal that happened the other day against the Montreal Canadiens, when Brendan Gallagher was wide open at the point He even flubbed on the pass, and it went to, I think it was Jake Evans, maybe at the left post, and he was able to bank it in because the fact that he was untouched is a whole nother story, and that kind of goes back a little bit to our conversation earlier about the goalies and maybe their numbers aren't exactly accurate of how well they are or bad they are playing, because like that's a goal that should never have even happened, right? That goal, guy standing there wide open on 5-on-5. But on that play, the reason Brendan Gallagher was so wide open is because Matvei Michkov was not up at his point. So he's definitely struggling defensively at 5-on-5. You know, even Tortorella said it. I don't have any issue with him on the power play. That's what he said. He said, you know, I have no issue. I know he knows what he's doing on the power play. But 5-on-5, you do see the defensive zone breakdowns. And when, you know, someone's not, when the team's struggling already, and you see someone who's having that issue, I don't think there was any harm in taking him out for a game. So I agree with you. I mean, look, you know, as someone who votes NHL awards, I'm not going to, you know, it's not an absolute guarantee, but if I had to, you know, I did a preseason predictions, you know, he was my Calder pick. I mean, it was pretty obvious. And you have to remember, Calder picks are not necessary, or any award a lot of times is not necessarily about the defensive side of things. It's really about the numbers. So, you know, I don't see him not putting up big numbers as the season moves on, whether it's on the power play only or there's some 5-on-5 in there is to be seen. But there's no denying he's going to have the numbers.
It's the defensive side of the puck. And there's sometimes in the neutral zone too, where he's just on a neutral zone regroup. He's just kind of trying to do his own thing. It's like, well, no, man, I need you to post up or swing here. And that's little details that you maybe can get away with in the KHL. And then coming over to the NHL, the bar is just that much higher here. And, you know, I'm sure the language barrier doesn't help. It's a new country. I remember when I was growing up playing with guys coming over from Europe, they're like, I am just so lost out here. No one's speaking the language. Like, I'm just really confused. And it's overwhelming at times. You just have to think about it. It's a totally new life he's got going on here. There's more to hockey than just hockey. There's a human being behind it. And I think that sometimes people do lose that. We're going to wrap it up here. Jackie, first off, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we'll give you a couple minutes here to plug your work, and we'll hopefully have you back on soon.
Yeah, just Philadelphia Inquirer. You know, I write every day before the game. I write a story about the game. I write an analysis piece after the game. I do features. So there's a lot of content, you know, on our website. You could also find me on Twitter at Jackie Spiegel 93. I also have an Instagram that doesn't have the 93 on it, but Jackie Spiegel, where I post some pictures and videos also. But yeah, you know, I appreciate everyone reading, and you know, feel free to DM if you have any questions. I get emails a lot, try to do my best to respond, but obviously I'm very busy as the only Flyers beat reporter for the Inquirer, so always traveling, always with the team. And yeah, a lot of great content. Got a couple of great things coming down the pike in the next couple of days. Jeremy Roenick, I talked to him. He's obviously getting into the Hall of Fame on Monday. Talked to him about the Flyers, talked about his career with the Flyers, and about the current Flyers too. Obviously Eric Johnson, going to have a big feature on him when he hits 1,000 games. And just every day, lots of content. So.
Thanks for joining us today on the Hockey 411. Stay up to date with all of our content by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Hockey 411. Don't forget to rate and review on iTunes and Spotify. See you next week.